The scripture that was just read, John was given the privilege of seeing all the saved from Adam to the coming of Christ. And that number was so great, he said, no man can count it. So he saw people that haven't even been born yet. He saw this generation. We hadn't been born at that time. And he said it was the saved from every possible geographical place, every tongues, nations, kindreds, and so forth. There will be people from every location. Doesn't depend on what the country was like, showing that they were saved so that anybody else in that location could be saved. It's a beautiful story. I have a handout that will be at the back. I don't hand it out now. You'll start reading it. You can read it on your time. But in this handout, we get into the problem of the heathen being saved. Well, heathen are non-Christians, Muslim, you name it. But in Galatians, and the texts are on the outline, God taught the gospel to Abraham. At Abraham's time, there was no Bible. Hadn't been written yet. So whatever would be in the Old Testament or the New Testament concerning gospel, which is salvation, which is the most important doctrine, because if we know the rest of it but aren't saved, if we have all the wisdom and we're lost, that's not so good. So I'm just going to hit a few highlights. We know when Adam and Eve sinned, the gospel came right in. And it starts with a prophecy and a promise that God would put enmity, hatred, war between the woman's seed and Satan.
Amen.
That war's still going on.
Yep.
So there's a bit of the gospel. Then after that, he put, take off the fig leaves, put on the skins of a killed lamb. We have the first death in the universe, a lamb that represented Christ, that in Revelation is said from the foundation of the world, when sin came in, the symbol of Christ dying came right in too. Then we have Adam, lived 950 years. I don't know about Eve. Women live longer than men because they're smarter than us. Because that's the hardest job, is to stay alive, isn't it? You can survive. You got brain. They taught their children, and their children taught their children. And so the gospel spread. Adam only had one commandment, don't eat of that tree. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. If God had given Adam the Ten Commandments and he said, and I don't want you to commit adultery, what's that? Well, that's having another woman instead of your wife. Another woman? I didn't know there was another woman around here. What does she look like? I mean, it wouldn't make sense. But the minute they sinned and the devil is pumping evil in their mind, Ten Commandments were given pointing out what sin is. Ten simple commandments cover every possible thing the devil could come up with. So Adam and Eve could teach their children. And when they said, how'd you get here? Created. Who's your mother and father? God created us. You got to have a mother. We had a mother. Where's your father? They could say, you've got a belly button. I don't. That was physical proof. No belly button, and you've got all your ribs and Adam. Yeah. He's missing one. So God had things before the law was presented on Mount Sinai. In fact, in this handout is all the Ten Commandments and verses in Genesis and Exodus where they were kept or broken before God spoke them on Mount Sinai. They're right there. And Ellen White says that Noah, because everybody else was dead, none of Cain's generation, which is good, we don't have any genetic fallbacks from Cain and his people. We get them from Seth through Noah. It was a rebirth. So we can't blame Cain now because we're not connected with him in any way. So God had ways and things for them. The Holy Spirit, 120 years, worked hard before the flood. But one of the outstanding ones was the Garden of Eden. If it was still on earth, you could drag an atheist up to it and say, try to get in. They could talk to angels. They could ask questions, but they couldn't get in. They could see plants and animals perfect, no dead leaves, no animals killing one another, little lambs going up and snuggling up with a lion. In fact, the lion's eating grass and stuff too. It would have been an attraction. That's why Cain moved to the land of Nod, and he set up a city, and he had his attraction. So God is in control, and he knows what's happening, and they had the opportunity to be saved. Amen. Now, in chapter 1 of Romans, Paul said, way back in the beginning, they knew from nature the true God. They knew him. But they turned away and made their own little gods and worship animals. They worship the creature more than the creator. And boy, that made things pretty miserable. And you think about heathen and whatnot. Yeah, it wasn't the best way to go. But Paul also, in the second chapter, described how the heathen, without the Bible, are still saved. And he has a couple of verses that I just want to go over with you in the second chapter of Romans. I've already done that page. That's good. And in Romans 2:11, God is no respecter of person. That's the foundation. He loves everybody. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says he gives rain and sunshine on the bad guys as well as the good guys. Amen. John 3:16, God loves the world. Not Jews, not Seventh-day Adventists, not Catholics. He loves everybody. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, for the Gentiles don't have the law. They don't have the scriptures. But they do by nature the things contained in the law. Somehow by nature they can obey some of God's law and still look forward. We're not saved by works anyway, but there will be indications we're saved first, the good works come after. Amen. You don't, if you're not born again and have a new heart, the law is holy. We can't keep it. So Jesus dies in our place. Now in verse 14, for when the Gentiles, well, that's everybody else, the heathen, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These, having not the law, are a law to themselves. He's not talking about listen to your conscience. If you by nature do things contrary to what you'd already been taught and lived up to, then you are following the law to the best of your ability. And then he goes on to say that the law is not in a book for the Gentiles, it's in their heart.
Amen.
That's basic. The law isn't written in our heart, we can't keep it. And through nature, they can get the law written in their heart, because that's how it started off with. The invisible things about God were revealed in his created works. Now, we know that Jesus is the light of the world, and he gives light to everybody. That's knowledge. We know that the Holy Spirit, his job is to convince us we're lost sinners. Until we know we're lost, why worry? When do you see the dentist? It hurts so bad, you can't take it anymore. So when the Holy Spirit convinces us that we are lost, when Jesus gives us enough light to be saved, we're only lacking one thing. We have to believe it.
Amen.
You have to believe Jesus died for your sin and be grateful. So the whole Trinity, but we got the Trinity on our side. Jesus gives us light, truth, the gospel, Holy Spirit starts it off. We know we're sinners, we need something, but we need faith to believe we're lost, and Jesus is our Savior. Romans 12:3, God gives to everybody a measure of faith.
Amen.
Just enough faith. You don't need a lot of salt to get the flavor. Too much salt, oop, and the heart goes up. Just a pinch. And the Father gives us, but we'll have to use it. We can say, no, I don't believe that. I'm better than the other guy. So that's not going to work either. So basically, in Scripture, Gentiles, heathen, are going to be saved too. They didn't even know about the cross. They knew this lamb symbolizes Christ dying on the cross. They didn't know about a cross either. Hadn't been invented. The Romans did that. They had to believe someday God's Son would die for us. We don't have that problem. We don't offer lambs that died at the cross. We have the Lord's Supper to believe he did it in the past. Now, what takes more faith? Believe it's going to happen? Do you believe it already happened? They needed more faith than us. We all know there was an Abraham Lincoln. We've got all the evidence. We all know there's Christ, whether you think he was a prophet or a false prophet, A.D., B.C. It's in our time system. There's proof that way. Finally, I have some statements by Ellen White about the amazing grace that God can save savages, cannibals, and some of them will be saved. When Nineveh, everybody repented. In the judgment, they're going to condemn Jerusalem, Capernaum, Bethsaida, who didn't repent at the teaching of Christ, and Christ is greater than Jonah's preaching. He didn't want to preach it in the first place. He went the other direction, which helped. God knew he'd do it. If he'd have walked all the way to Nineveh, 650 miles, when the whale or great fish taxied him up the coast, it was only 400 miles. And the miracle of the storm and the fish swallowing him, that got to Nineveh before they kept track, and they were scared. That great fish God, what's happening here? God knows what he's doing. Anyway, I'm not going to read it, but from it I will take the key thoughts. And that God will give the heathen knowledge of his written law, and the Holy Spirit is working to reprove them. And the two things that showed they were following God, because they didn't have the law, they were kind to other people.
Amen.
It's a simple thing. Just being kind, which was against everything else. And also, they protected some of God's servants from being killed. They risked their own life.
Amen.
The greatest love is to die for a friend. So they proved it. That's the first. And then the second one is much longer. Again, the Holy Spirit got them to be kind and a blessing to others. The heathen befriended missionaries at the risk of their own life. Because what they were doing, everybody else wanted to kill or eat, didn't matter. And the Holy Spirit touched their hearts, and God recognized them as his children. And they heard God speaking in nature.
Amen.
So they had that help before the flood. And then at the end, she said, those heathen, those savages that were saved, they're going to be amazed. They didn't think that they would be saved. They just were nice to people and that. They're going to be, shocked but happy. And then the last sentence, the followers of God, angels, Christians, will be surprised. What are they doing here? But they're happy too. We should never be unhappy about somebody that is saved, even if it's Hitler. I mean, you don't know what happened at the end. Exactly. I want to tell a story, and that's why I needed this. True story of what happened in Africa. And this lady somehow had been taught in a mission place, but not too long enough to know Jesus and salvation. And then she ended up with a bad tribe. They bought her as a slave. Who knew? Who knows? And now she's old, and she's the only Christian in that tribe of pretty tough people. But they like her because she's nice and kind, but she only has one God. They say, where's your God? Up there. My God is down here. And they would carve their God on trees and make little wooden idols. And they say, we got lots of God. You got one, he's up there. We got lots down here. And she said, well, I still have one God up in heaven. Now, this village was near a river, but not too near, because a lot of animals went down there and it was dangerous. But they had to get water. And if there was any animals, lions and stuff, the warriors would go out, kind of protect the trail. Well, they told the chief, don't let people go. We got to kill the mambas. Oh, there are two types of mambas. The little green ones that get up in trees and eat birds. And the big, long, black ones that can kill an elephant. These are the little greenies. And what they would do, they would get up in a tree looking for birds, bird eggs. But if they saw an animal coming, it was their territory, and they would glide through and whack them. They couldn't eat them. They're too big. They don't want them around. But where there was a papa, mama, there was always a mama. And if you killed one, you better kill the other, because it wouldn't leave till it got even.
Amen.
So everybody, they couldn't go. Water was getting scarce, and they were all praying for their gods and whatnot. And Grandma prayed, and she said, "You're not answering my prayer. You get rid of those mambas, and I'll tell them." And then she had a dream. The angel said, "You'll tell them. They're praying. Who do you think they're going to thank?" "Oh. Well, how are you going to get rid of the mambas?" "God will have you get rid of the mambas. She said, "I can't climb trees." And she was laughing so loud she woke up. The next night, the dream, the angel said, "Now don't laugh. I'll tell you exactly what to do to get rid of the mambas." And before he finished, she started laughing again and woke up. But she knew enough. So that morning, she got up early, and she got her great big cooking bowl, and she's filling it with water and cornmeal. And people, "What are you going to do?" "I'm going to have a little picnic, and I want you to come to breakfast." And they spread the word, and a lot of the people in the village came, and they sat down. The bowl was outside, and she was stirring it, and she said, "I need some banana leaves." "We don't eat banana leaves." "No, I need banana." So they brought some, and she put the banana leaves on the bowl, and then she put the bowl on her head, and she said, "Where are you going?" "Oh, you want the picnic somewhere else." So they all followed her, and she headed down the trail to go to the river. "Oh, no. No, don't go there, mambas." And by the time they got her, she was down. They ran to the chief. He said, "You let her go. You know she's, shame on you. Come on, warriors, we'll go rescue her." Well, while she is walking, I can't keep it on my head, so I'm not going to even try. The mambas saw her, and they both came down. Oh, man, they were doing 30 miles an hour. But as they got closer, they felt the heat. Snakes don't have brakes. And plop, plop, she had them in the pot. Now she turned around and she's heading back. And the warriors and the chief were out. Come on. And they drag her out and they said, "You know the mambas are here. You were not to go. What's wrong with you?" "I caught them." So they got her out. "What do you mean you caught them?" "Well," she said, this I guess was in her belt, whatever. And so she reached down and she got the mambas. They weren't green anymore. Amen. They were boiled. Yep. But there was two of them, and they looked. They said, they're mambas. "Yeah, but they're burned. You caught them in the pot. Who told you that?" "My one God."
Amen.
Ooh. Chief says, "Everybody, I'm going to feed your breakfast. We can't eat that. It's got poison in it." And so they all met and they had breakfast with the chief, and she got to tell them what she knew. They kept asking questions. They had lunch there. And then she says, "I don't know anymore." "How did you get it?" "Well, down the river, there's a mission station, and they got a teacher there." "And he taught you?" "Yeah." He got 10 of his, "You get in the canoe, go get that teacher." He said, "What if he won't come?" "Tie him up and bring him back. You don't come back empty. And do it quick." And boy, they scooted down, I don't know how many miles, and they walked up to the thing, and the missionary came out, and they said, they had to get translated, "Come with us. The chief wants you to teach." He says, "I'm busy." "We'll tie you up. I'll come." And so they took him up there, and he was there for a week. And that whole village accepted Christ.
Amen.
God will work for the heathen.
Amen.
But some of the toughest heathen aren't in the jungle. That's the problem. But as soon as we get the gospel to all the world, Christ promised to come.
Amen.
And God knows the day and the hour. We don't. We don't set time anymore. But it's not just teaching or preaching the gospel, we have to live it as well.
Amen.
It is only those that are actually bringing the gospel into their life that will be given the Holy Spirit and with power. And it's going to be not so much the evangelist or the television or the preachers. It's going to be the layman going from door to door, talking to people, answering their questions. They're going to be mad about being forced to go to church on Sunday. Who made that idea? And they'll go to the newest church. And if it's our church, we'll show them in the Bible. Great controversy. They said, that was 200 years ago. They knew about this. Prophecy will really speak in the last days.
Amen.
And we have the joy of not only teaching it and living it, but we'll see Jesus sooner.
Yes.
And today we're one Sabbath closer to Christ coming.
Amen.
God's in control. Well, we'll sing our closing verse and we'll be finished.
Please stand. Number 202, Hail Him, the King of Glory.
Tell it to every kindred and nation, tell it far and near. Earth's darkest night will fade with the dawning, Jesus will soon appear. The Lamb for sinners slain. Tell the wondrous story. Jesus comes to reign. Nations again in strife and commotion, warnings by the way. Signs in the heavens, unerring omens, herald the glorious day. Hail Him, the King of Glory, once the Lamb for sinners slain. Tell the wondrous story, Jesus comes to reign. Children of God, look up with rejoicing, shout and sing His praise. Blessed are they who, waiting and watching, look for the dawning rays. Hail Him, the King of Glory, once the Lamb for sinners slain. Tell the wondrous story, Jesus comes to
my good son here is going to pass those things out, I guess, as they leave the door. Yeah, so I don't have to put them on the table. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you are a God of love and respecter of men not, that you love us and you want us to be in the homes that Jesus prepared for us in heaven as soon as possible. And all over the world, Father, people are working. We know that. We need the revival and the reformation and the Holy Spirit outpouring the loud cry to finish the work. And it's a privilege to be part of that. May the Holy Spirit bless, comfort, guide, teach, and get this church on fire for Jesus. We ask in His name. Amen.